We're speaking with Mike Lucht, who heads up Progressive Sweeping, which is a 30-year-old sweeping company. And Mike is a past president and a founding board member of what is now the North American Power Sweeping Association and has many years of experience in the sweeping application of milling. And Mike, if you would, as we've discussed, talk to us about some of the special safety requirements and other items that should be considered when you're on a milling job, and how those are different from when you're on a regular street sweeping job or a construction sweeping job of other types.
Well, the difference primarily is with a milling job, we don't have total control of our environment like we would normally have for a street sweeping project, where we would actually have a moving zone created by ourselves and a zone that, and a work safety zone that we're actually totally responsible for. In a milling environment, we're actually thrown into a group or a team of other subcontractors or a prime contractor, and asked to perform in an operation a lot like a referee of a basketball game. You know, we're necessary to be there, but we don't, when you start getting in somebody's way, it's when it becomes a problem. So we want to function as an integral part of the team, but at the same time, not be in anyone's way or to hold up that operation in any way, shape, or form.
And because you're usually working for someone as a sub, as you say, you're not calling the shots on how the project is laid out and so forth.
Right. And then many times, you know, we may have an environment or a situation where we're working with a person that thinks we should be doing things one way, when the operator, through his experience, is pretty certain that it would be more effective to be done another way. But guess what? We don't usually win those arguments.
What can be done then on those kinds of job sites to keep the job site safe? And at what point do you and your sweeper walk because you're afraid of safety to either sweeper operator or more generally people on the ground?
Well, one of the guideposts that we drill into our operators is that there's not any function that we should ever be asked to do that would be that would cause damage to the equipment or danger to an operator or anyone else on the job site. So if we're put into what happens in many cases with us is that we'll get on a project. And a milling project, for instance, we're usually, unless it's a milling fill where they're coming right behind us with tack and asphalt, we're going to be one of the last ones on the job. Everybody's in a hurry to get done. And they might be doing returns on an intersection or something of that nature. And the guys, the milling machine's getting loaded up, the water truck's packing away, and those boys want to get home. We're left to do intersections, do returns, and we find ourselves being naked, no safety in traffic. And we have to just stop right there and put our foot down and demand that we get a flagger or maybe even some other form of safety out there that would protect us. Because it's just, we're responsible for our own safety. Even in most environments, the contractor, although he's, you know, they're aware of it, but they're not going to necessarily be thinking about our safety like we are.
Right.
And not necessarily thinking as us, as the integral part of his operation as we actually are. He's going to recognize it the minute we break down or we have a problem that disrupts him. But until that point, again, we're the ref at the basketball game.
Right.
We're there. Nobody's really watching us. As long as we're getting things done and we're not in the way, and they're moving.
As long as their equipment is able to keep operating, that's
right. And we don't want to disrupt them, and we like to be able to jump in and pick up and go, and rarely even be directed as to what to do. As far as how you address safety in that environment, the only thing you can do is plan the best you can. you know, we dress our operators in the reflective vest. We got mirrors all around the vehicles. We currently do not use any kind of a backup camera on those trucks, although I think that would be an outstanding idea. Backup alarms, of course, are a must. But the best way probably to affect safety is to get work out in front or far behind the operation as you can, and just to create your own space.
Mm-hmm.
And try not to be up too tight to the operation as it exists, or if you're sweeping ahead of a paving crew, for instance. You know, we try to get in and get ahead of them enough that we're not working in and around their people.
Okay.
And so, therefore, you kind of, as a result of that, not have to be so concerned about someone being behind you if you're backing up and doing a lot of maneuvering. If you're in an intersection situation, you should have a flagger there. You got to have, you know, you got to be able to have that eye connection in the mirror when you're backing up. If you can't see him, you know he's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know not to, you know, you can't proceed if you might be in a blind spot. So,
Is there anything specific that you want your operator to be trained differently, or to have a certain number of hours on street sweeping construction, that particular sweeper that he's on, or how do you make that call for who's now capable of doing a milling operation?
Right. Well, that person, it's certainly, they pretty much go to sweeper college with a senior operator, and then, you know, there are some jobs that are much more intense than others, and we try to bring those guys along with a senior operator, give them the experience. I mean, you're not going to put an operator that's been sweeping parking lots and taking him and throw him into a milling operation or a paving operation of any nature,
mm-hmm.
for that matter, because, you know, you got to have the mindset of, I'm not working here independent, like if you're on any other type of a sweeping application where you're out there by yourself doing your own thing,
mm-hmm.
not your actions don't affect others. When you're in the environment of a construction zone and working in a milling operation or paving operation, you're working amongst usually one or two other subs, and you've got to be an orchestration. You've got to understand the whole process. You got to kind of be thinking one step ahead of what's going to happen, and we like to have our guys knowledgeable enough that they don't have to be coached as to what to really to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get in and go, and you know, we find that we can bring value to the table with that, because, you know, the rate in the day and age of buying sweepers, and anybody can own them, you know, the operator makes all the difference, so.
Mm-hmm. And you need someone
he's our salesman, basically.
You need someone with the experience level that he can comfortably and competently make a decision about safety,
right.
as well.
And stand up and hold his ground if he's feels like he's being vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
in the area of safety. Yeah, he needs to be able to be assertive enough with the customer that he can recognize his concern and express it and bring some resolution so that everybody, I mean, nobody wants to see an injury of any nature, or damage to a machine for that matter.
Sure.
Of any nature.
Well, and this series of interviews was set up as a result of one serious injury and one fatality, both of which were workmen on the ground and on a milling site that were run over by a sweeper backing up.
Right.
Is it customary to do everything you can to not back a sweeper up on a milling job, or are there inevitably times you have to back up? And secondly, if a sweeper is backing up on a milling job where there's so much noise that a backup alarm is going to just mix in, would it be standard practice to have a flagman behind a backing sweeper or something along those lines? How do you address that?
Well, when you're doing intersections and returns for intersections and things of that nature and radiuses, it's not uncommon to have to back the machine up. And in those cases, you you most generally, unless you have a secured zone, you're going to want a flagger behind you. But I think the key is to keep in constant eye contact with the flagger. And he's got to know as much as you. His responsibility for his safety is greater than or equal, at least to the operator of the machine.
Sure.
He can't turn his back to the sweeper, even though he may be flagging traffic. There has to always be eye contact when that machine goes through the reverse mode.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, everybody knows. He's the flagger. He sees what's behind you. He sees traffic, and also you've made eye contact in the mirrors before you begin to back up. If you don't have that, if you know he's back there and you don't see him in your mirrors, then it's just like backing up any vehicle in any situation. You just stop and get out if you have to, and you know, have that little conference about what needs to happen. And I think, you know, because we know. The operator really needs to take the lead with that because he's familiar with what he has to do to accomplish the task.
Mm-hmm.
And that flagger may be some, you know, college kid working for the summer, you know, maybe not necessarily that familiar with what's going on and what his real role needs to be. So, I mean, there has to be that discussion.
Okay.
And hopefully, you know, you can avoid those situations. They're tragic, of course. In some situations, no matter how much planning you do, and that's why we are, none of us can claim to be any kind of an expert in this field, because you can do the best you possibly can and still have those things occur and just the fluke of an accident.
Right. The goal is to take the steps to minimize those tragic occurrences, I know.
We're always still learning, you know, and that's... really unfortunate when it happens.
Is there anything else that you would want to add into this that are safety items or issues that would more be on a milling site than other areas?
Well, no, not really.
Okay.
Those are the things that come to my mind primarily. Again, you know, we don't have generally a lot of control. It's just that the operator has to be assertive and he has to be aware. He trying to work himself into his own space so that he's not dealing with others and have less risk of, you know, being involved with an incident. And then, of course, if there's a flagger involved, then obviously you got to keep him in your eye.
All right.
You know, those are the highlights, I think, primarily in that situation.
Well, thanks, Mike. We appreciate your time and in involvement in the industry and in making it a better, safer place to be. And hopefully, ultimately, that makes it more profitable for everyone as well.
Yep, thank you.